Thank you, Justin Ennis. Almost said Justin Bieber. Amen. Amen. Oh, Justin Bieber wishes, right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I am so proud of our seniors this morning for their accomplishments, for the milestones in which they've reached. You know, it's just kind of hard, though, when handing out those certificates there. I remember when most of those were born. Amen. I was pastor here when a lot of them were born, and it's been my privilege, guys and ladies, I want you to know that, to be your pastor. And to watch you grow up into the young ladies and the young men that you are today. You know, most of these are going on to college, as you saw. Little Johnny went to college. He told his friend Bill, my college turned out some great men. And Bill said, they did. He said, when did you graduate? He said, I didn't graduate. I just got turned out. Some of these will go on and maybe invent something, or maybe they'll discover something in their career. The physics teacher said, Isaac Newton was sitting under a tree when an apple fell on his head, and he discovered gravity. Isn't that wonderful, class? And little Johnny said, yeah, it's wonderful, but if he'd been sitting in class looking at these books like we are, he wouldn't discover nothing. Some of them are going to develop wisdom, and they're going to develop discernment. Little Johnny walked up to his teacher's desk holding out his report card with a big red F on it. And he said this to his teacher, if I were you, I would change this while you can. And the teacher said, is that right? Why is that? He said, because my dad told me if I bring home one more F on my report card, somebody's going to get a beating. Amen. Little Johnny's dad was having a heart-to-heart talk with his young son. He said, little Johnny, why don't you get a job? And little Johnny said, well, why, Dad? He said, so you can earn some money. Little Johnny said, well, why? So you can save some of that money, put it in the bank, and earn some interest on it. Little Johnny said, well, why do I need to do that? He said, so when you're old, you'll have money in the bank, you'll never have to work again. He said, Dad, I'm not working now. So I hope you get some discernment along the way, get a good education, and I hope you'll apply yourself. Amen? And I know that's what your parents are thinking. So you're almost out, or you're probably graduating here in a few days. And all the teachers said, amen and amen. All right, turn with me to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, it's easy to find. It's sandwiched in between Hosea and Amos. And so you can find that. It's in the Old Testament for all of our deacons, all right? So the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, Joel chapter 3. I want to speak today on a simple message entitled, The Valley of Decision. The Valley of Decision. I was thinking about this message, and young people, seniors, you're going to be making a lot of decisions here in the next few days. You already made a decision where you're going to go to school. You're going to have to talk about your major and all of those kind of things, the friends you hang out with. You got to make choices on that, decisions, where you're going to live and all that kind of stuff. And so we're all making decisions. And then those of us in here today, all of us, every day make many, many decisions. So we need to talk about that today. I want to talk to you about the valley of decision. In Joel chapter 3, look in verse 14. The prophet Joel, chapter 3 and verse 14. He says this, multitudes are in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, the 9th century B.C. prophet Joel was talking about God's coming judgment. God used the prophets, as you well know, to prophesy the coming judgment. God was judging Israel. But here in this particular text, God is judging all the nations. The nations had come against Israel, which they will be in the battle of Armageddon, which is alluding to this very text. And so as Joel begins to speak in the 9th century B.C., he refers to this valley of decision. Now look up in verse number 12, just for a moment. In verse number 12, he says this, "Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat." Now the valley of Jehoshaphat is the same valley he's speaking of in verse number 14 when he calls it the valley of decision. You remember King Jehoshaphat was a good king, the son of Asa. He was a good king of Judah. Matter of fact, if you'll read 2 Chronicles chapter 30, he was such a good king that he always interceded and asked God what God's plan was. You remember when the Amorites were coming against Judah? He says, I'm scared to death. So let's go to God. Let's find out what God says. God's on our side. And we'll intercede to God Jehovah. And he'll give us the victory. And he did. And God greatly blessed Jehoshaphat as king of Judea. And so Joel is prophesying about this valley of Jehoshaphat, which is Megiddo. I've had the privilege of being there overseeing the valley of Megiddo. And that's where the prophecy says that that's where the battle of Armageddon is going to take place in the end time, is right there in that valley of Megiddo when all the nations come against Israel. Mark it down. When they come against Israel, there's going to be a great, great battle. The end times battle. The battle of Armageddon. So Joel's giving us a prophecy here about the valley of decision. The valley of decision is simply another name for the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, the Hebrew word there for decision is the word verdict. The word verdict. So you could call this the verdict that God's making. God's bringing judgment. There's coming judgment from God. Count on that. Revelation talks about it as well. One day, God's going to judge the nations, and that day is coming. And so the valley of decision we see here is God judging the nations. Now, in Joel's day is the same as our day today. There's going to come a judgment day. You do know that. Everybody in this room is going to be judged. And that those of us who are going to be raptured will not stand before the great white throne judgment. That's for those who don't know Christ. That's for those who will be judged and sentenced to eternity in hell. And so we'll be raptured up before that. Those of us who are Christians, part of the church. But all of us are going to be judged. We'll be judged according to our works, if you will. In that day. Now, every decision that you and I make are extremely, extremely important. And I hope you're thinking about your decisions, and I'm thinking about my decisions as we make those, because there's always consequence to decisions. A reporter asked a bank president, he asked him this, "Sir, what is the secret to your success?" And the bank president replied, two words, "And sir, what are those two words?" And the bank president said, "Good decisions." "And how do you make those good decisions?" the reporter inquired. And he said, "Sir, that is one word." And he said, "Sir, what is that one word?" He said, "Experience." "Experience." And he said, "Sir, where do you get that experience?" And he said, "From two words." "Sir, what are those two words?" "Bad decisions." And so a lot of times we grow from making bad decisions. And by the way, sometimes you get a second chance, sometimes you don't. Be careful about the decision that you make and that I make. They're extremely important. We make a lot in a day's time. I made a decision as a young boy out of high school after I graduated, went to Calhoun and dropped out of college. I made a bad decision to start gambling. I got involved in gambling, and gambling took hold of my life and almost destroyed my life as well as my marriage. And it was a decision that I made. It wasn't somebody else's decision. It wasn't some dysfunctional behavior that I had. It was my decision. I made a decision to get involved in gambling, and it almost cost me my life. But from that bad decision, God has had grace and mercy. And God has saved me, God has changed my life, and God has put the pieces back together. God can do that from your bad decisions. He can make good decisions in your life. So trust Him, and you'll never fail. I encourage you today to trust the Lord. Our students are always making decisions. And students, remember this message today in the valley of decision. You're going to find yourself in this valley probably pretty soon from now. Maybe it's in college. Maybe it's in a fraternity or sorority. Maybe it's one of those things. And you're having to make crucial decisions. What you're going to do with your life, what you're going to do with your lifestyle. So you need to make these decisions. And I'm proud of these young people. I'm proud of them. We have college students always coming back to church when they come on furlough. Amen. And I'm proud of them for doing that. I asked our students a question, and Daniel was so gracious to help us with a video. I've been videoing the teenagers, the senior adults, so I thought I'd do the students as well. And I put this question to them. What is your biggest decision? What's the decision you're going to be make? And the last one I asked, how will this decision affect your life, and how will this decision affect those around you? On the last question. So watch the video of these three.
Well, some of the decisions I have to make are whether I will go to college and what college I would go to, what my major would be, what I would go into, I really don't know, and if God would open the door for missions and when that would be and for how long that would be. I'm just, right now, I'm kind of at a stage where I'm praying that God will open the doors He wants open and close the doors that He wants closed, because there's a million different places, different paths I could take, and I don't know which one He wants right now, so I'm just kind of waiting.
This year I'd have to say that I've had to make a lot of tough decisions based on college, what my major is going to be, how we're going to pay for it, just a lot of nerves go into decisions. Well, I'd have to say the hardest decision that we've had to make this year is on where I'm going to go to college. I really wanted to go to Auburn, but in the end, we couldn't financially support me going for all 5 years, and my parents thought that it would just be best if I stayed home for a year and then went to Auburn. I did respect their decision, however, it may not have been the decision that I wanted to hear, but after a long thought and prayer, we decided that this would be best for me.
I'm at a point now where I'm making post-college decisions. I'm making decisions that affect my career and my job, future jobs, and I've decided in the past few months that I'm going to pursue a mission trip for a year after graduation, and this affects me and my family, because my family, A, won't see me for a year, and B, we have to find a way to fund it. But I've also realized that faith is fully grown when acted upon, and that I came to this decision through lots of prayer and reading scripture in my Christian community in Tuscaloosa, influencing me. But this also affects my future relationships with my family and my friends, my future relationship with Christ and how I grow in that. And this is these decisions that I'm making now affect everything for the rest of my life and how I spend my life. And ultimately, what I do with Christ. So that's how my decisions are affecting me and affecting others around me.
Amen. Amen. As you could see, all three of those, and we could interview all of our seniors and some others, as well as you and I, we all have decisions, and you can see how they affect others. Not only do our decisions affect us, they affect our family. They affect our reputation. They affect our testimony. They affect everyone around us, your church family. Every decision you're making out there, adults, affects your church, affects your family, affects your job, your career, affects you, affects your children. It affects all of us. My decisions that I make affect you and us. So we're in a valley of decision making. And we need God's discernment. We need God's will in our life. We need to seek Him as Jehoshaphat did. Seek the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. As these young people have sought him for college and things like that, all of us have to make those decisions. Listen to this statement. We're all affected by our decisions and our choices, especially when it comes to what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see God's Word today, how he dealt with Israel in the valley of decision. Then I want us to contemplate how we think God is going to deal with us in our valley of decision. Very important. So two things I want to give you today. Number one, in your outline, a choice between God or the world. You've got a decision to make. I have a decision to make. It's either going to be God or it's going to be the world. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. So turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Let's look at it. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Here's another prophet. Here's a man of God that God raised up under the tutelage of Moses. He followed Moses' leadership. Moses was a great man of God, and Joshua's following the leadership. Now Moses has died, and Joshua's in control. Joshua's been leading Israel. You remember, across the Jordan, conquered Jericho, and now they're in the promised land. And God's dealing with Israel still and the nations around them. So look with me in chapter 24 of Joshua, verse number 13. Young people, I want you to follow this message today. It's going to help you. Look at verse 13 of Joshua chapter 24. Notice what God's saying to the prophet Joshua. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. Young people, think about that just for a moment. You've been lying in a bed. You've been eating the food of the table, probably where you did not, your parents have graciously blessed you and nurtured you and raised you in that environment. And then all of us here in the United States, are we not a blessed nation? Have we not been prospering because of God's resources? Because God has richly blessed us as he did the nation of Israel. Verse 14. Now, therefore, here's what I want you to do. Fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, and serve him not out of obligation or formality, but in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods, little g, the world. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river, the Euphrates River. He's speaking about Abraham there and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, exclamation point. Honor the Lord, fear the Lord, reverence the Lord, and serve the Lord. Now, verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods, little g, which your fathers served when they were on the other side of the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites, little g, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua says, we're going to serve the Lord God Jehovah. That's the choice that we're making in our household. That's the decision that God's led me to. He's blessed me. He's blessed my nation. And I'm going to serve him. You either want to serve God or you're going to serve the world. It's your choice today. And by the way, I'm going to show you in Scripture where God gives you that choice. God gives you a choice to serve either him or the world, just as he gave Joshua. Tell the people, choose today whom you're going to serve, either the gods of the world or you're going to serve God Jehovah. God has graciously blessed our nation. God's graciously blessed this church. We're a God-blessed church. We've got an academy here. God has put his hand on that as well. God's blessed us with the grace of salvation, the grace and mercy of God, the freedoms that we enjoy. All of these things are blessings from God, and Joshua calls for a decision. In verse number 15, the nation of Israel is in the valley of decision. Joshua is calling for a decision. Your pastor today is calling for a decision. You've got to make it, and I pray you'll make it today if you haven't already, what you're going to do with Jesus. Folks, I want to tell you something. I don't know if you read the papers or watch the news, but our country is quickly sliding toward the world. Our nation is making decisions, and I'm telling you, it's affecting you and affecting me, our young people all around us. It's time for the church, it's time for Christian men and women to stand up and make a decision. Today, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to have to make that decision. We need to make that decision. It's your choice, and God's calling for a decision. It's no more time for waffling. There's no more time for fence straddling. There's no more time for making God second fiddle. Today is the day that you and I need to start making decisions in our life as to what we're going to do with Jesus Christ, what we're going to do with God that's blessed us tremendously. You're either in or out. You're either up or down. You're either hot or cold. You're either saved or lost. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You can't be a little bit saved, and you can't be a little bit lost. You're either saved today and you're in Christ, or you're lost outside of Christ and His grace. You're never outside His grace, but if you've never accepted it, then you've never been saved. And so I want you to choose you this day, whom you're going to serve. Either God or the world. It's the same decision that the prophet Elijah called for. You remember how God raised up Elijah on Mount Carmel, had all the prophets of Baal there, and in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, listen to the challenge, listen to the decision, if you will, that Elijah called as well. He said this, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is your God, follow Him. If Baal is your God, then follow him." Make a decision. That's what he said. He's calling for a decision, just like Joshua's calling for. If Baal's the one you want to serve the world, then serve the world. Follow the world. But if you're going to serve God, you've got to get in or out. Up or down. You've got to make a decision whom you're going to serve. This is the days of decision. So Joshua says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Now let me break this down just for a moment, three sub-points. Number one, this is a personal decision. Young people, listen to your pastor. It's a personal decision. What did he say? He says, choose you. Grandma can't make this decision for you. You can't go to heaven on your parents' faith. You can't go to heaven on your grandma's and grandpa's faith. This is a personal decision that everyone in this room and those listening by television today, it's a decision that only you can make. So you got to choose. And so Joshua said this, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. It's a personal decision. By the way, it's a personal relationship. My relationship with Jesus Christ is my intimate personal relationship with Him. Now, I like to make it public, don't you? I'm not in a closet. I'm not coming out. I'm going up. Amen? This is a personal relationship, but I want the world to know, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power unto salvation. So I'm not ashamed of Him, even though it's a personal decision. It calls for a decision. Amen? Now, someone wisely said this, listen to this, of all of God's creation, only man can say yes or no to God. Wow. Of all the things God created, only man can say yes or no to God. God allows you to do that. Say yes or no, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Secondly, not only is it a personal decision, it's a timely decision. It's a timely decision. You're going to have to hurry up and make a decision. Because what does he say? Choose you this day. He didn't say wait till tomorrow. All right, I want y'all to think about it and pray about it and all that. No, you know you're lost. You need to be saved. You don't have to pray about that. We've been praying for you. You know you need to be saved. You know you need Christ in your life. You know you need to be a godly husband, a godly wife, a godly child or daughter. You know that. So choose you this day, today, whom you're going to serve, either the God Jehovah or the gods of the world. It's a timely decision. The Bible says it well in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Here's what it says in the New Testament. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today. That's what he wrote, Paul wrote. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you're in the valley of decision. And you need to make a call today. Oh, my dear friends, hear your pastor today. Don't wait on this decision. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Make it today before it's too late. I'll never forget, someone asked me if I'd visit the nursing home. They had a friend there. She's 92 years old. She wasn't doing very well. And they said, if you go to the nursing home, would you please drop by and see my friend? I didn't know who she was. They gave me her name, told me the room she was in. So I go up there to the Athens nursing home, and I knocked on the door. She's in there. She's laying in the bed. And I said, hi, I'm Pastor Dusty McLemore of Lindsay Lane. I told her about her friend. Your friend asked me to come by and just to check on you. So I just want to come by and check on you and say hi. And she said, well, thank you so much for doing that. And she was pretty feeble. And she said, I don't know. God just moved on me. And I said, by the way, can I ask you a question? And she said, what is it? I said, do you know the Lord is your personal Savior? Here's what she said. No, I don't. That's why he wanted me to check on her. But he didn't really tell me that. He just said, check on her. And thank God I asked the question. She said, no, I've never done that. I don't ever remember asking him to come into my life. I said, would you like to do that right now? She said, I sure would. And so right there in that nursing home bed, I led her to the Lord Jesus Christ. She invited him to come into her heart. And I said, well, you need to be baptized. She said, well, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do that. I'm in a wheelchair. And I said, well, you need to do that. I don't know how either. You know, we just kind of think about those things secondary, right? And so I said, I don't know, but I'm gonna give you a call. I'll be back. And I did. I went back, called the manager there and said, how in the world can we baptize? He said, well, they have a bath here that they take a shower, and her wheelchair will go in that bath facility. And I don't know how you're going to do it, but they'll go in there. I said, well, would it hurt to get wet? No, it won't hurt to get wet. That's how she takes a bath. So I said, all right, fill it up. And they filled it up, and I went up there, and all the staff, it was awesome. Her son was there. Her son came that day, and the staff was around me. And I still, Andy John, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just thinking, how am I going to back? I can't put her back. She's in a wheelchair. And, you know, I thought at that time I might be a Methodist for a moment, amen? And I said, no, that's not going to work. But it could have. I mean, but here's what I did. And God just really spoke to me. I said, I tell you what, I can just let her go forward and put her head under that way. And I did. And I said, I baptize in the name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And she went forward and let her head under the water. And I raised her up. 4 days later, she died. She almost waited. Too late. Thank God she made her decision. Thank God she made her choice in her valley of decision. And so today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Here's a good quote. Listen to this. It's never too early to decide for Christ, but the time will come when it will be too late. Underline that in your outline. Highlight it. Take it home with you. It's never too early, but there will come a time when it'll be too late. Number three, there's an eternal decision. It's a personal decision. It's a timely decision. But number three, it's an eternal decision. What does Joshua say? Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He didn't say what. He said whom. Choose you today who you're going to serve. He said you're either going to serve the God on the other gods on the other side of the river, the gods that your father served, Terah, Abraham's father, and those who lived over there in Egypt. He said, you're going to serve those kind of gods, the gods that they had on the poles and all those kind of things, those foreign gods and idols. You're either going to serve them, serving the world, or are you going to serve the Lord God Jehovah, who brought us out of Egypt, by the way, and who carried us across the promised land, carried us across Jordan, parted the Red Sea with all of his mighty power. He's brought us this far. He can keep us all the way. So I want you to choose this day, because the choice you make, your eternity is going to depend upon it. It's an eternal decision today you're making. This isn't just some casual decision. This isn't a decision where you're going to go to college. This isn't a decision what you're going to stock you're going to buy. This isn't a decision where you're going to retire next year or not. This is an eternal decision. This is the decision of all decisions that you'll ever make, if you can grasp that. It is. I'm being honest with you. It is. This is the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. It's what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. And by the way, you only got two options. There's only two choices. God or the world or Satan. He's the prince of the world, by the way. He's the God, little g, of the world, the Bible says. And so you're either going to choose him by choosing the world, or are you going to choose God, Jehovah? Someone said this. Listen to this. It may be true that there are two sides of every decision, but it's also true there are two sides to a sheet of fly paper, and it makes a big difference which one the fly chooses. Amen. It's going to make a difference which one you choose. Matter of fact, it's going to be an eternal choice. You and I are in the valley of decision, and we need to make it today. We really do. And I pray that you will. And see, the Bible says no one can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. You know why? It tells us. Because he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. Can't serve God and mammon or riches. And I'm telling you, that's true. Some of you are trying to serve the world and serve the church at the same time. You can't do it. Because one of those is going to get your loyalty. Count on it. At the end of the day, one of those two is going to get your time. It's going to get your energy. Somebody said there's two ways that you can check where you are in your loyalty to God. Here they are: your calendar and your checkbook. Just saying. Amen? That's how a good gauge of checking how loyal you really are is your calendar and your checkbook. Who are you serving? Who are you choosing? Can't serve both. You can't serve both. Even though we're in this world, we're not of this world. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So you got to put God first. You're going to be out there in the world. Nothing wrong with having things in the world as long as God's first in your life. Loyalty to God, first and foremost. It's an eternal decision. Well, let's move to number two. You got to make a choice today, Joshua said, between God and the world. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Either the gods of this world or God Jehovah. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Now, number two, you got to make a choice today in the valley of decision between life and death. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Turn back to your left. Deuteronomy's right before Joshua. So go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Here again, God's dealing with Israel. God's dealing with the nation of Israel and all those who are opposing them. God's always dealing with Israel. He's going to deal with Israel in the end times, in the millennial kingdom. He's still going to be dealing with them. They're his chosen people, by the way, the Bible says. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I want you to look in verse 15. The prophet Moses is speaking. God is speaking through Moses. Now, here's another decision Moses is calling for, or God is, through Moses. Now look in verse 15. Deuteronomy 30. See, God speaking through Moses. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go in to possess. But, verse 17 is a contrast. Here's the other side of that flypaper. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods, little g, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now look at verse 19. Interesting terminology. I call heaven and earth as my witness. God speaking through Moses. I call heaven and earth as my witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days. Wow. They're in the valley of decision. I mean, even before Joshua, here's Moses. Said, all right, Israel, listen up. God's spoken. He wants to give you life or He's going to give you death. He wants to give you good or evil. Blessings, cursings, it's your choice. Is God the same today, yesterday, and forever? Does God give choices in the New Testament? Are you listening to me? Does God give choices in the New Testament? God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever chooses, whosoever will, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what God said there? I've set Jesus before you. He told Moses, what did He tell Moses? I've set it before you. Look at it. Look with me in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and death. It's before you. It's your choice. God's calling for a decision. Look in verse 19. I call heaven and earth as my witness today against you that I have set before you life and death. It's your in the valley decision. You got to make it. Very crystal clear. Very plain. God wants to save you today. By the way, God's already made His decision. Here's what the Bible says in John 15, 16. You didn't choose me. I chose you and ordained you. You should bear fruit. And then He sent Jesus Christ. He chose you from the foundation of the world. He chose you through salvation. It's what He's talking about. He had a plan from the foundation of the world. You're not an afterthought to God. He had this planned out. But in this plan of salvation, a sovereign God has given man a sovereign will. He's given us a choice to choose Him or death eternally. And so today He set before us, right here in 2013, the same decision. What you going to do with Jesus? Choosing Him, you have life. If you don't choose Him, you're going to die forever and ever and ever. You're in a valley of decision. You got to choose. I got to choose. And so we need to understand this today. It's very important that we understand what the Bible's teaching. Verse 17 talks about our heart. As always, such a choice is a matter of the heart. Look in verse 17. But if your heart turns away, look in verse 14 of our text. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. God judges and looks at the heart. It's obedience from within. It's a personal relationship. Again, it's personal relationship with Him. It's in your heart. And God said, I've set it before you. That simply means the final responsibility is yours. Young people, you're going to make a decision where you go to college, and then the consequences of that's going to be determined what happens next. Choose Alabama, choose Auburn, choose Calhoun, wherever it is. Then you got to go there, and then you're going to see what happens. And so I'm praying for you that God will use you there, just like He did Drew Bowman. By the way, good things can come out of Tuscaloosa. Can I get a witness? That's what Drew said, didn't he? Kind of got nurtured down there in Tuscaloosa. Got a good church. Yeah, he's had all those temptations. He could win all the parties, all the things. But he chose to go to church and live righteous in a world that doesn't even know the name sometimes. And God's raised him up, and God will raise you up. But it's about the decisions that's being made. And God set them before us today. And God set them before you. And by the way, let me just say this in passing, verse 19. Look at verse 19. Drew brought it out in his testimony, in his CD. I mean, in the video. Therefore, choose life. Look at it. Verse 19, last part. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Did you hear him say this? He said, my decisions affected me, but it's also affected my parents. It's affected my sisters and brothers. It's affected my church family. Because I'm going to be gone for a year. They're not going to see me. Oh, my goodness. Parents? Oh, my. I got kids, too. Do you know they're God's? Do you know Drew Bowman belongs to God? You know that Joe Darren Haley belong to God? And my 6 grandchildren belong to God? He has a right. Somebody need to hear that. He has the right. Your final decision is going to affect others. They're going to attend your funeral. And the decision you make today is going to affect everybody around you. Well, it's my decision. It sure is. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect a lot of other people. You're in the valley of decision. Choose you this day whom you go serve. We're calling for a decision. God's calling for a decision. Someone said this. When you have to make a decision and don't make it, that in itself is a decision. You just made it. You just made it. Well, let me close. Here it is. Tim Kimmel wrote a book entitled Little House on the Freeway. Some of you read that book. Little House on the Freeway. Listen to his quote that he gives in this book. He says, the words of Eleanor Roosevelt ring true. On the screen, the words of Eleanor Roosevelt ring true. One's philosophy is not best expressed in their words. It is expressed in the choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. End of quote. It's your responsibility. It's your choice. You're in the valley of decision. You're in a valley of decision today. Listen to me. I made my decision. I've been in the valley of decision when it comes to making a spiritual decision for Christ. I was in that valley. For me, it was almost Death Valley. I was in it. And on October the 30th, 1979, I made my choice. I chose God and I chose life. And I'm going to live forever. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my life. I chose life. I chose life. It's your choice. I pray you would choose well. Choosing Christ means heaven. Rejecting Him means hell. You're in the valley, and it's your choice. Let's pray. Father, I pray now, Lord, we set it before the people, just like you did in Israel. Today's a valley of decision. There's some in this room that need to be saved. There's some men in this room. If they'd be honest with you today, they know they're lost. They don't need an evangelist. They don't need a preacher to tell them they're lost or tell them they're saved. I believe the Holy Spirit will make that plain right now. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit of God would move on this place and move in our hearts. There's some women in this room that need to be saved. There's some grandfolks in this room that need to be saved. There's some children. There's some students, some middle adults, in this room that need to make their decision today, right now. And I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, all I've done is set before our people, your people, a valley of decision. And Lord, maybe they never heard it expressed this way. But Lord, the Bible is very clear. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Today is a day of salvation. Choose life, choose death. Choose God, choose the world. It's your choice. And I pray today you would choose. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw us. Give us the courage to make our choices. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We're going to sing, it's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Your choice, you come.
Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for
our church home, maybe you need to come and recommit your life, whatever it is, especially if you're lost and you don't know Christ, maybe you don't even know. Come, let us help you. We'll share with you. You come right now as we sing.
Lord, we bow to live holy.